That is from a record released on Philo Records in 1974 by our guest, Bodie Wagner. Bodie, welcome.
Howdy, 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 folks.
And you have a lovely yodel.
Oh, I thank you. Yeah, that got me a lot of nickels in the hat when I used to street sing.
In your busking days.
And actually, I was singing that song when I first met Utah Phillips. I was busking on the bridge over the Mississippi River. It's a footbridge that went from the West Bank over to the campus there. And we were waiting for Utah to show up so we could all go up to this festival my big brother Pop had started up there in northern Wisconsin, the Ashland Festival. And so I was just out there trying to make some change before we headed up, and we were, and this guy walked up and threw a couple quarters in the hat and said, "That's a great song. Where'd you get it?" And I said, "I made it," and we became best of friends after that.
And that's Utah Phillips?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and we
great.
Traveled together and became knew him for 36 years. So that was quite an experience being buddies with him and traveling around. And he was instrumental in getting me a lot of my early work and the recording contract with Philo Records.
You, Bodie Wagner, and your brother Pop Wagner, both of you have humble beginnings right here in our beautiful Miami Valley.
We do. That's right. Okay. We were both raised in the Quaker meeting here and went to Mills Lawn and later on to Bryan High School, or it was a middle school then, and then went, I think Pop was one of the first classes through the high school when it was brand new.
And your father taught?
No, he was on the school board at the time, but he was an engineer for Morris Bean and Company.
Uh-huh.
And that was our reality at the time, was Dad was an engineer, and Mom's worked at Fell's Research every now and then later years.
In the basement of where WISO was.
Exactly, yeah.
So many years. And you tribute your musical beginnings to your mother who played the piano, but also to a pretty rich library.
Yeah, the Antioch College Library. My dad, of course, having been to Antioch, he went to Antioch in the 40s. And so he would bring us, you know, Lead Belly and Woody Guthrie and prison songs and things like that from the Antioch College Library. Plus, he brought a lot of music up from the Virgin Islands where he did his part of his alternative service. And my brother was born down in Puerto Rico.
So you've got a little calypso mixed
with
Woody Guthrie.
Yeah, and so he got all that sort of, all those different kinds of juices poured into our heads back then. And it ended up percolating out later on.
Bodie Wagner live in studio and carrying what is perhaps the most beautiful musical instrument I've ever seen. Clearly it's handmade. Clearly it's one of a kind.
Pete Diego made this for me up in Seattle.
I'm going to say there's at least four different kinds of absolutely eye-caressing wood grain present.
Yeah, we talked about this because I made really nice chairs, these fancy rockers for a long time and carved furniture. And my main gig in the last 20 years has been as a contractor and a wood carver, a building contractor up around northeastern California. And this has some cherry wood and some figured walnut, and it's got some fiddleback maple on the cord bars. And I think it's, I can't remember what he used, maybe alder.
Carpathian elm.
Yeah, alder and things like that.
Pretty.
It's a really, and we got to sort of talk about what he was going to do before he built it.
So a friend of yours made this for you, and it's not a guitar.
It is definitely not a guitar. This is an auto harp, the only truly American instrument.
Is that right?
Because all the others, the guitar and the banjo, all had roots either in Africa or Europe with the lute and things like that. But auto harp was actually invented by an American in the late 1890s. It was the late 1800s because there was the westward migration, and they had all these little one-room schoolhouses, and they couldn't haul pianos out to all those places. So he made this so that teachers would have something to accompany themselves with that they could actually carry out in a Conestoga wagon or on a horseback or something like that.
Even that's, early America appreciated the value of music in every school.
Back then, they did. they don't always do that now with the budget cuts and everything.
Sure. But let's just pretend that someone may have never heard of it. It really is a harp. It sounds like a harp.
It's strong. Yeah.
But the difference, the key, if you will, is that there are keys or buttons that you push that depress and undepress, or I should say mute, and let ring some of the
It's strings. Fairly similar to a zither. zithers, you pluck the strings individually, and it's more like a real harp. With this, you can pretty much, once you press a button, the pads deaden all the notes that aren't in the chord, so you can sort of cut loose with it a little bit more. And it was actually became – it used to be that you could find all these old harps in old schoolhouses, and the school teachers originally played them on their lap. And then when the Carter family came along, Mother Maybelle picked it up and held it in her arms, and she sort of made it really popular around Appalachian. It sort of had a resurgence then in folk and country music.
Another reason to love Mother Maybelle.
Yep.
Will you give us a little example of this amazing instrument?
Sure. You want me to play you a song?
Would
you? Let me think. Yeah, we had a beautiful full moon just a couple of weeks ago. I was out there. I tried to get a picture of it coming up over the main building over there at Antioch, but I wasn't able to get out there. But it was a beautiful night. So here's one called The Moon. Well, the moon sang me her song tonight, and I quietly sat in the singing light. Yeah, the moon sang me her song tonight, and I quickly wrote down the tune, and I sang it right back for the moon. Drop all the burdens and let yourself be. You hold the gift that is free. Share all your hope and cares with the moon. And the moon let down her hair tonight, and I silently held her with all of my might. Hear the moon let down her hair tonight, but I had to leave way too soon, and I broke my own heart by the moon. The moon was right. Yeah, the moon told me her prayer tonight. If patience and peace are the innermost light, you'll find me in love with the moon. Drop all the burdens and let yourself be. You hold a gift that is free. Share all your hope and cares with the moon. So the moon sang me her song again, and I'm happy to say that the moon is my friend. And the moon sang me her song again, and I quickly wrote down the tune, and I sang it right back for the moon. That's the same one I'm singing for you. All the burdens and let yourself be. You hold a gift that is free. Share all your hope and cares with the moon. Thank you.
Bodie Wagner live on 91.3 WYSO. And not for the first time. You've been making music.
Oh, no, long, long time.
On these radio airwaves.
I've been in all three different locations. The first time I actually broadcast ever in my life, I think I was about 6 years old, and they were having the book fair over there at Mills Lawn. And so they had several different children that were representative. They had a high school kid and a middle school kid, and then they had somebody from, like, I think I was in first grade or something. So they brought us all over here to talk about the books that they had laid out on the table on the air.
Nice.
And I was not really aware of what was going on, but the thing I remember about it was being in the studio and talking about all the pretty books, you know, and that was when Dr. Seuss was sort of new. And so we were all real excited about that. You know, we got to talk about that stuff. But the thing I remember the most about it is they gave me ice cream at the end of it.
We don't do that anymore.
I know. They told me that, but I came in anyway. So.
Wow, what a good incentive. Hey, would you like to come by and talk a little while? We'll give you ice cream.
Yeah, right. Well, they didn't tell us that. That was sort of a surprise at the end, but it did make an impression.
Bodie Wagner live in these studios for a little while.
Long time.
So pleased. Such a nice legacy to be able to be a part of. And now, your brother also, Pop Wagner.
Big brother, Pop.
He's been, whereas you sort of drew back from the on-the-road
We both toured, and Pop sort of uses a scattergun approach, you know, to booking. He sort of calls people and finds out what they need, and then he figures out how to do it.
Wow.
And he calls square dances and does auctions and teaches people how to make horse cinches, and he also performs and writes some of his own songs. And he was a staple on Prairie Home Companion during the early years. And so since he's been sort of based out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, that's always been sort of a hub of that kind of creative, you know, NPR type stuff. And so he really got plugged into that, and it's really done well for him, and hit keeping that broad approach. And mostly what I did is I either wrote song or collected songs from people who I knew who wrote them, because I was hanging out with people like Utah Phillips and Rosalie Sorrells, and I got to, you know, hang out with Jim Ringer and Mary McCaslin, and lived my first address in California was with Kate Wolf. She had a little place out in her garage where she put me up for when I first moved out there in 78. So I was more into the songwriting thing and sort of targeted that, which is a lot harder to make a living at than, you know, using a sort of a broader approach to playing music. But that was really my passion, was writing songs and performing them and collecting songs from people I knew. Bill Staines, I used to do a lot of Bill Staines stuff, things like that.
Bodie Wagner, just a delight to have you here. You had a record out in 1983 that you self-released, and
we've got a
track from that. You want to tell us a little bit about Louisiana Bow?
Oh, yeah. I used to go down to Louisiana for probably once a year. I'd either hitchhike down there, me and a buddy of mine, when we were touring together, Larry Lucas, who wrote a couple other really great songs that I used to perform. And I used to go down there because he played in the bar bands, you know, down there on Bourbon Street. And so they'd go to work at like 9 and play till 3 every night.
Isn't that funny, going to work? And that's
right. And then, but he, you know, it's quite a grind to do that kind of a gig, you know, 5-6 nights a week. And so he'd have me down there as kind of like his karma advisor, because I always did something. I sort of got in a habit, because I did karate back when I was about 16, and I got into this habit of doing something physical to kind of keep myself in shape. And it really served me well as I got into music, especially because you see a lot of musicians kind of tank fairly quickly because they tend to have too much fun, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And especially down there on Bourbon Street, that's easy to slide into.
Bourbon, Slim Jim.
Exactly. So Larry used to have me down there because I would get him up in the morning, or not in the morning. We'd wake up in the afternoon, but we'd go run in the parks around there and, you know, and go swimming. And, you know, we'd go out to the bayous and with some of the Cajun folks we knew, and we'd go water skiing out among the alligators and stuff. And so anywhere I went, as I traveled around, I always sort of picked up the flavor of the music that was there and then incorporated in what I was doing. When I got to California, I started doing stuff that sounded real Latino in a way, and sort of picked up on some of those rhythms. So Louisiana Bow is one that I recorded after being down in Louisiana. I'd come back out to California because I was living there at the time. I was doing construction a little bit in the early 80s, that was. And Pop told me, I think it was it was D.L. Menard, who's an old buddy of mine.
Oh, I love him.
D.L. and I used to do some gigs up around Vermont and things together, and we also ran into each other when we played the Smithsonian, the National Folk Festivals. But we became real good friends because back in those days, I had this real piercing voice, and he has that real piercing Hank Williams voice. Oh. So we used to do duets, like in the back room, because we both had these real loud voices, and I loved old Hank Williams stuff, you know.
Nice.
And so, but DL told Pop once when he played that song for DL, he said, "That's the most Cajun sounding song I've ever heard that a Cajun didn't write." So I thought that was pretty high praise from DL.
Here it is.
Well, I went down to Louisiana, I guess, to visit the Boy Scout on River Farm. And I sang to Daisy Lee and Susanna, and just a living by the words of the song. Well, we drank and we sang in the sunshine and rain, and just a living off of grits, ham, and gumbo. Yeah, we rode on the trains and we floated on the Queens, and we watched the water rise on.
Wagner from his 1983 tune.
Off to Louisiana.
That's so nice. I love that it's so minimal, just guitar, vocal, harmonica.
That's what I used to do, yeah.
Big full sound.
But that was that old Martin D35. I still have that thing.
You do?
Yeah, what a beautiful old guitar that is.
They all are. Most of the...
Well seasoned. I've had to have it glued together a few times because it went through so many different... temperature changes. I remember sometimes playing in D.C. when it was, you know, like 100 degrees in the shade and the humidity was like 95% or something.
Would it just sort of peel up?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you still have it.
Still got it, yeah.
I love it. We're talking with Bodie Wagner. So pleased to have him passing through town and passing a few wiles with us here on 91.3 WYSO. And Speaking of the auto harp, I just was fascinated. I'd love to hear another one if you would. But I always imagined, I've never played one, that you only hit one button at a time. But I saw that you were hitting at least two, maybe more, depressing the buttons.
It probably looks that way because I switch chords fairly quickly. The auto harp, there's only so much you can do with a lick. You know, it's not like a guitar where you can really do licks with it. So a lot of what you do to embellish a song is you change chords. Like instead of just going like, you might throw in a G there and go.
Oh, sure.
Which sort of embellishes the chord, and it's sort of like a little guitar run or a walk up or a walk down. And so that's sort of been something I kind of – actually, the first time I played auto harp was that same weekend that I met Utah, and little Stevie Beck, who used to play on Prairie Home all the time, was an old pal of ours. And she put one in my hands, and I played it. They're real easy to play. And then, of course, I went right out and bought one and realized you have to tune them, which took me the next 10 years to figure that one out. But I love the instrument, and it's so much fun to play and easy to play, too. And now with the new electronic tuners, they're actually fairly easy to tune, too.
Would you play us another?
I'll gladly do that.
That's Bodie Wagner live on 91.3.
Well, here's one I was doing some I like to go to the Father's Day Bluegrass Festivals up around Grass Valley, California, near where I live. And I almost never go into the festival, but there's always music all day and all night in the parking lot. And so me and a friend of mine were getting together, and we were singing some duets, and a bunch of people were gathering around and applauding at the end of the songs. And we were having a great old time, and somebody at one point after we had done this particularly pretty song where we got to sing together said, "Boy, that gives me chicken skin." And so I wrote a song called Goosebumps. Well, chicken skin, yeah, everybody wants to get some chicken skin. Chicken skin, you all get chicken skin. It's chicken skin when you sing a song, chicken skin when you get along, chicken skin when you're right or wrong, you all get chicken skin. It's 15 nickels and a heavy load, 2 bare feet on an old dirt road, you punch me a ticket and away I go, I get chicken skin, chicken skin. Chicken skin. Everybody wants to get some chicken skin. Chicken skin, chicken skin. You all get chicken skin. What? It's a hobo Billy and Wino Sam sitting in the alleyway tipping on a dram. Everybody knows just who they am, and they get chicken skin. George Bush got greedy and Bush got mean. He took the whole country to the washing machine. But I want to see his face turn green when he don't get chicken skin. Woo! Chicken skin. Chicken skin. Everybody wants to get some chicken skin. Chicken skin. Chicken skin. Y'all get chicken skin. Now the sun goes up, sun goes down. There ain't no working, it's a one-horse town. But you break out the fiddle and you pass it around. You get chicken skin. It's chicken skin in the middle of the night. Chicken skin in the broad daylight. Chicken skin when you feel all right. Y'all get chicken skin last time. Chicken skin. Chicken skin. Everybody wants to get some chicken skin. Chicken skin, chicken skin, you all get chicken skin. Hey, where'd you get the chicken skin? I like some of that chicken skin. It's a chicken skin. Goosebumps. That's a fun one, though.
That's great. Bodie Wagner live on 91.3 WY. So you have to have written that within the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I haven't been writing a lot since I got married in 88, and we quickly, within a couple of years, by 91, we had bought 20 acres and had a child, and I got real busy.
Yeah, things got all booked
and
up.
I didn't have a whole lot of time for writing songs, and so every now and then one still creeps out, but I didn't do it like a job after that. And so, but every now and then one sneaks out, and that's one that sort of came out after that experience in the parking lot there. I was on my way home, and I'd sort of been thinking of it on the way home, and I sort of parked the car, and it was one of those, what they call on NPR, one of those driveway moments,
right,
where I sat there with my little tape recorder and sort of made it up in the car before I walked in.
Almost like the moon singing a song for you that you wrote down.
Almost.
I love that
almost
image,
like
by
that,
the way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for visiting us today. I would ask for
another, pleasure.
I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to...
come in and play, and it's always nice to come in and see WISO, and boy, what a nice place.
And honestly, we're doing such great things as far as really taking to heart the notion of being a member of this community and engaging the community. We've got community voices and local lore going on where we're training listeners to make radio and not just play songs and talk about them, but actually make stories and tell the stories of the people, pardon me, that live here. It's an amazing time to meet WISO.
It is. And the studio, I have to tell everybody out there, you could eat off the floor in here. I've never seen a public studio that was this nicely set up.
They won't let us bring food in the studio anymore.
Oh, well.
It was life-changing for
me. I didn't say that.
But you could if you had to.
If you had to, yeah.
Could I ask you for one more song?
Or sure.
I don't want to be a gluttonous type, but I'm just...
Do you a little traveling song here, see if I can still yodel. Everybody know. Woo! We rambled back in days of yore when both of us was young. Where Rosa carried the fiddle and bow, me I played and sung. Take me home, little Rosie, take me home. Won't you take me home? I've been on the road too long. I'm sun and made him run out on the interstate. We huddled and froze when the nights was cold and the year was getting late. Oh, me, I had a friend in her, she a friend in me. And our friendship lives within this traveling memory. Take me home, little Rosie, take me home. Won't you take me home? I've been on the road too long. Honey, woody, woo-hoo. Honey, woody, woo-hoo.
Wagner, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to play one. I wanted to play the Malvina Reynolds tune that you had on there. You want to do a little
bit
by way of introducing that?
Yeah. Actually, the first time I met Malvina, she was, I think she was a great aunt or the aunt of my next door neighbors when I lived out there on President Street. And so
you were just steeped in it.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And we went over there, and I remember she sat there in the living room and sang us little boxes and a bunch of her songs.
Which she wrote, in case listeners don't know.
And actually, that song got the word ticky-tacky put in the dictionary. There aren't many people who get a word, who invent a word that makes it to the dictionary. But Later on, we actually did several because we were both into doing a lot of political work. And so we did end up getting to do some songwriting workshops later on, and I sort of reminded her of that. But this is one of the songs I always loved of hers. I really like her songs because they're so simple, and they hit the nail on the thumb, as it were. They really say it right. You know, they get your attention right away. And this is one of those.
Buddy Wagner, thank you for coming by today. Thanks for making the Miami Valley proud with all the good work you've done.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Last night I had a lovely dream. I saw a big parade with ticker tape galore. And men were marching there the likes I'd never seen before. Bankers and the diplomats are going in the army. Happy day, I give my pay to see them on parade. Their paunches at attention and their striped pants at ease. They've gotten patriotic and they're going overseas.